are the King of glory. You alone deserve all the praise. You alone deserve all the honor. We thank you because you are our God. And we thank you because you will forever remain our God. Because there is nobody like you. There is nobody beside you. You alone are the King of glory. You alone are the God, immortal, invincible, and the only wise God. You are the God who reigns in the heavens and makes the earth your footstool. You are the God who is called Emmanuel. You are God with us. You are God, the Holy Spirit. You are God living in us. You are God who is walking with us, anointing us with your Holy Ghost. For the Spirit we have received of you abides in us. That same Spirit walks in us. He moves in us. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you because your word is true. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, forever. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Not going to spend too much time this morning. We're going to go back into a session. We're going to thank God. Again, it's always a great opportunity to be given this platform. You know, thank Pastor Uvier every time for that opportunity. Don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly. We need to understand the way God works, the things God does, and how God does his things. I do not take it lightly. All right. Praise the Lord. So for a while we've been, I think last month, we talked about the theme we looked at was by his Spirit. By his Spirit. And we were touching on the fact that as a Christian, we have no other way to survive without the Holy Ghost. The new creature in Christ was not created to function outside of the Holy Ghost. So God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. So that was, or when you look at man, you see man exactly the way man is like God. So the same way God has a spirit, man has a spirit. The same way God has a form. The Bible talks about Jesus is the image of God. The same way man has a form. And the same way God has a body in the body of Christ, man has a body. So when we talk about Jesus, Jesus is not, he's not just somebody who is out there and doing his own thing, sitting in heaven, and nobody really knows what's going on. No, the body of Christ is the body of Jesus. So the same way what you are seeing now is my body, the church is the body of Jesus. So we should have in our minds that we cannot actually separate the body of Christ from Jesus himself. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, we see the story of Paul, where he was persecuting the church, and Jesus appeared to him. Jesus did not say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So the persecution was not at Jesus physically, because Jesus was no longer there physically, but the persecution was at the church. And Jesus appeared and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So there is a union between Jesus and the physical body, the church that we see today. And we need to bear that in mind. So whenever someone gets saved or you get born again, you get translated into the kingdom of God. That's in Colossians chapter 1. We get translated into the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible talks about us being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. As we bear those things in mind, we then have to realize that how was that man that is created after the image and the likeness of God meant to function? How? How is that man meant to function? One of the most important things is by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, actually life becomes that much more difficult. Without the Holy Ghost, life becomes a struggle. It becomes a pain. It becomes a challenge. Because we really wouldn't know where to go. When we've got problems, what would we do? You may say, yes, I will go to the Word. Yes, you can go to the Word, but the Word doesn't come alive without the Spirit. The Word doesn't come alive without the Spirit. You can say, I will go to church, but the fact that you go to church is no guarantee that the Holy Ghost will be there. Because what you call church may not necessarily be church. It may just be a gathering of people. It may just be a glorified social club that the name church makes it more attractive and people want to join. So it goes a lot beyond just being part of a group. It's total reliance and total dependence on the Holy Spirit. It's a total dedication to the Spirit of God. But we need to understand that. We need to understand how to walk with the Holy Ghost for us to be productive on the earth. You saw the story of Jesus that we talked about in the Bible study in John chapter 1 and in Matthew that we read. God told John the Baptist, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descending, that is the one. If you see the Spirit descending on that person, that meant even Jesus, though he was the Son of God, though he had no father like we understand the concept of fatherhood, though he had nobody that he could point to and say, this is my lineage outside of Mary and Joseph, who was really the custodian of what God was doing, he still needed the Holy Ghost. He said, when you see the Holy Ghost descending on that person, he is the one. He is the one. So in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says something. Let's open there briefly so we can see these scriptures. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we saw the criteria for sonship really is the leading of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons. So if you are not led by the Spirit, we can safely conclude that maybe you are not a son. Like we had before, my sheep hear my voice. If my son or my daughter is not hearing my voice regularly, then maybe we're not living in the same house. Because they cannot be living in the same house with me and not hear my voice. That's not possible. So if they are living in my house, and I am living, I'm not dead, and I can speak, I'm not dumb, they must hear my voice. If you are not hearing my voice, you are not my own. So if TJ is not hearing my voice, that's not a problem. He's not my own. He's pastor's own. And if Neil is only hearing pastor's voice, then maybe that's where he lives. Are you getting the point? So without you hearing God, that's why Jesus said, you cannot claim to be my own. My sheep hear my voice. If you are not hearing the voice of God, something is amiss. So the new man created after the image of God was created to function hearing the Holy Ghost. Jesus came. Holy Ghost descended on him. He said, the one upon whom you see the Holy Ghost, that is the one. When Jesus was leaving in John chapter 14, We see it in John chapter 14. Look at verse 16. It says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So we know him. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I am a comfort to you. I am a deliverer to you. I am a healer to you. But I am going away. Physically, you will not be able to see me anymore. But I will send you someone else. Not something else, someone else. Who will be with you. He will be to you everything I was to the people who were there physically. So that we have no excuse to say that maybe if I was living in the days of Jesus and I could see him physically, maybe I would have accepted that. That whole theory goes out the window. Because now, we've got the same Holy Spirit that we can trust, that we can believe. We know he's there. He said, he shall be in you. He will live in you. So the Holy Spirit lives in us as Christians. That's the way we were meant to function. That's the way we were meant to function. So that's critical for us to understand that. We also looked at the fact that in Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 16, I think we started looking at it. And that's the fact that, let's start from verse 17. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We looked at the concept that sometimes as Christians, we may have a low level of infilling of the Holy Ghost. Or we could have a high level of infilling of the Holy Ghost. So, you go to different services. The flow of the Holy Ghost in those services is not always the same. In some services, it's different because it's trying to do something different. So you've got different flows of the Holy Ghost. Different ways he chooses to operate in the place. So he says, be filled with the Spirit. And we said, how do you get filled with the Spirit? The next verse says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So if you find out that it feels as though the level of the Holy Ghost within you is low, if you feel like, I've not been hearing the voice of God recently, if you feel like, what's going on here? I'm reading the Bible. It seems dry. I'm reading the Bible. It doesn't really come alive to me. I go to church. Everything just doesn't seem to be tying up the way it should. I'm going around life and I seem day after day to be hitting one problem after the other. Day after day, I seem to be going through one challenge or another challenge. And it always seems like I'm always going down here, going down there. You need to start to ask yourself, am I filled with the Holy Ghost? Jesus said something. Listen, if you walk when it is day, you will not stumble. If you walk at night, then you will stumble. So if I'm coming from this place and I'm walking towards there, I won't just go like this and bump into this. I've got my mind. I've got my senses. My senses will tell me that you can't go through there. Move this way and you go around it. But if you find out that you're constantly bumping into things, then it means that probably you have problems with your eyesight. And it's the same thing spiritually. If you are hitting too many challenges, is there a problem with your eyesight? Are you seeing like you should see? If you are not seeing like you should see, there will be decisions you will be taking and they will be wrong decisions. There will be people you will be meeting, relationships you will be having. They will be the wrong relationships. They will be the wrong people you are interacting with. Why? Because your eyes are closed. You're not able to see. That's why he said, understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God in this situation? What is God saying to me today? What is God's plan for me? I am looking at that. I am understanding that. So I'm full of the Holy Ghost. If a challenge seems to be there and it's not moving, and it seems that I'm trying. What's happening? Why isn't it moving? Maybe it's the flesh. The Bible says something that the flesh, John 6:63, the flesh profited nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. What does that mean? The flesh profits nothing. No profit means that you buy the goods at a certain amount, you sell the goods, but there's no profit. So there's nothing to cover that you will have as addition to all the effort and all the labor that you have expressed. You've not made a loss. You've just not made a profit. They call it break even. So you're just breaking even. Just breaking even. I'm wondering what is going on. What is happening? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. That's what he said. Speaking. That means the way you get filled with the Holy Ghost is by speaking. If you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you start to speak. Now, let's look at another dimension. I was sharing this briefly with some people over the weekend. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We looked at that the last time. And you see, this is why it's so important to listen to the Holy Ghost. Because he is the one that will take scriptures and will unpack the scriptures for you. He will open the scriptures and you start to see. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the understanding of that the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our understanding. That means you see it and you say, okay, so that's what they are saying. And the minute you get to that okay moment, it means you have gotten to the point where a change can take place. You've gotten to the point where a change can take place. Okay, so when I have this problem, this is how I work at it. You know, I was helping my son with his maths some time ago, which I hadn't done in maths. Is an interesting thing. So we sat down and we started looking at the thing. And he was working, he was struggling with it. And I said, son, you know what? This is the method they taught us when we were in school. I used the method. And he worked. Okay, now I get it. So I said, yes. Just apply that one to all the other ones. It will work. It will work. He was saying, but that's not what they taught us in school. But you are not getting it with what they taught you. You are not getting it with what they taught you. But if you do this thing, the one they taught us, the foundational principles that we've looked at this thing, we understand how it works. That's why the apostle said, the gospel that was delivered unto us is what we're delivering to you. We've tested it. We've seen how it works. We understand the dynamics of this thing. We've gone through the pains. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. That means I have suffered this thing. You don't need to suffer it. I've suffered going through processes. I've suffered going through pain. The Bible says he has the feeling of our infirmity. That means how you feel deep inside you as you are going through that challenge. He's feeling it. How you feel inside you when, you know, you're an athlete and you lose by 0.03 of a second on a medal. He knows how you feel. I just missed the bronze medal. Less than a second. Can you imagine? less than a second. He knows that feeling, and he knows how to deal with that feeling. That's what he's saying. I can deal with that feeling, is what he's saying. So look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You know, a lot of times I'd read this from verse 12 to 14. I'd read this so many times, and every time we read it, oh, when the singers, the trumpeters, the musicians, they became one. This was so powerful. Oh my God, and the glory of God hits the place. And we're going to trust God. We're going to do that today. But the thing is, that's where the mind goes to first. But as I read it, as I was meditating on it, I saw something else that I had never seen before. In the preceding verse, verse 11, look at what he says. He says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not wait by cause. They were sanctified and they did not wait by cause. You know, we always miss that bit. We always miss that bit. Why? Because that bit is not as exciting as it should be. That bit is not as dramatic as you are in a meeting and the glory of God comes in. And everybody starts to fall under the anointing. It's not as dramatic as that. It's not as dramatic as the smell of the anointing, where it feels like somebody has just opened a bottle of perfume in the room. And you can smell, you can perceive the aroma. And as people are perceiving the aroma, they start to get healed in their bodies. It's not as dramatic as that. He says, when they came out of the holy place, all the priests that were present were sanctified, and they did not wait by cause. They were sanctified. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it. It says, when the priests had come out of the holy place, for all the priests, all, not some, all the priests present had sanctified themselves, separating themselves from everything that defiles without regard to their divisions. They had sanctified themselves. So what we were seeing externally, where the glory of God was coming in and the glory of God was hitting the place, where the musicians became as one, making one sound to be heard, that was after the priests had serious sanctification. They had gone through a process of fasting, maybe. They had gone through a process of separation. They understood holiness. They understood that message. That, listen, the message of Christianity is a message of holiness. The message of Christianity is not a message that can prevail in the midst of sin. Cannot work. It's not going to work. So, you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Check. Have I gone through that place where I've said, this thing is going to defile me? Stay away, I don't want it. And it's not in the big things, it's also in the small things. It's in the hidden things of the heart. It's in the hidden things of the heart. It's in the smiling to somebody. But deep inside you, what an idiot, what a fool, who is this guy? What? And the mind is really attacking the person. It's those things. It's the envy within. Why is he doing so well? How come he's the one getting all these things? How come it appears that he's the one God is giving things to? What the Bible is saying there is that if you want to experience the glory of God flooding your life, if you want to experience the Spirit of God moving to another level in your life, you've got to go through a process of sanctification. You've got to go through a process of separation. You've got to go through a process where you choose not to defile yourself. You've got to go through a process where you say, not for me today. Not for me today. Not for me today. separation. There's nothing wrong with that TV program. Not for me today. There's nothing wrong with stopping at McDonald's. Not for today. Not for today. Why? Because you are separating yourself. And why are you doing that? Because you are walking on the flesh. There is another law that is operating in the flesh. So the Holy Ghost is not moving. Kill the flesh and see whether he will move or not. Kill the flesh. Kill the flesh. Use what you have within. That's why there are different dimensions, different descriptions of the Spirit of God. There is the Spirit of God within us. There's the Spirit of God upon us. When we do what we do by the Spirit that is upon us. So sometimes you see people doing things and you wonder that there is a disconnect between his life, his character, and the flow of the Holy Ghost. How can he be talking to people like that, yet he will come and minister and you start to see the great things happening? Because he's operating by the Spirit upon. By the Spirit upon. Sometimes God will give grace. I can take off my jacket and give it to somebody and they will be operating in the same grace that's upon my life for a season until it wanes. And when that thing goes off, if they don't know how to stir it up themselves, then it will appear like nothing happened. It will appear like nothing happened. Because you are at a certain high level of the Holy Ghost. And when you are at a certain high level of the Holy Ghost, he flows anyway. You have no control over that. You don't know what happens. The Bible talks about he that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it wants. It blows where it wants. We have no idea where he's going. No idea. So it's a period of separation. A period of separation. A period of killing the flesh. Making sure that the law that is operating in the flesh is not the dominant one. It's not the dominant one. If it is the dominant one, then you will notice that there is no profiting. There is no profiting. The struggle will continue. The struggle, you will be a Christian, but the struggle will continue. Because my child has his own free will to choose to do what I tell him or not to. The same way, we can choose to do what God tells us to do or not. Of course, after a while of not doing it, then you may find yourself in a situation where some people say, I disown you. God won't do that. He won't separate us as long as we don't want to be separated. He won't do that. Are you following me? So, look at what happens here. They sanctified themselves. They took no consideration for divisions. In other words, there could have been some that were the, you know, in those days, they used to have the senior prophet, the junior prophet, and all those kind of things. So what he was saying there is that there was no separation in this one is a big one, this one. All of them just came together and they did the thing. All of them. All of them. So he says, all the priests sanctified themselves. The same way you two, you will go, you sanctify yourself. God has made us kings and priests unto our God. When you sanctify yourself, then you get yourself into a position where you can have an increase in the level of the Holy Ghost that's there. So you want to speak in psalms. You want to speak in songs. Spiritual songs. You want to speak in hymns. Get the flesh down and see what happens. You know, get the flesh down. Get the flesh down. Get the flesh down. Use the anointing that is within to get the flesh down. So the anointing within you is enough for you to adjust your character. Is enough for you to go into the word. It's enough for you to discipline yourself. It comes in the discipline. The discipline. The discipline. In my son's school, they play rugby every Saturday morning and you have to show up. You, whether you like it or not, you have to show up. If you don't show up, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But sometimes,
We may choose, I'm not just going today. Come rain, they are there. The only thing that will cause them not to have that game in the morning is if the pitch becomes a hazardous pitch. If it is not hazardous, you are there every Saturday morning. Discipline is not so much about the game. It's the discipline. The discipline. You go there. I need to study the word. I need to meditate on scriptures. Discipline yourself to do it. When you do that, Holy Ghost will flow. Holy Ghost will flow. If Holy Ghost is not flowing like it should flow, if he's not moving like it should move, maybe you are not doing what you should do. Maybe you're not doing what you should do. Praise the Lord. So it's a process of killing the flesh. It's a process of subduing the flesh. It's a process of making sure that the new man that we've been fashioned after, that new man starts to behave in a new way. It's exactly the same thing that happens in the case of adoption. So a child is born into a family. He acts in a certain way. He starts to act in a certain way. If something goes wrong and he loses the two parents, in a lot of cases, they put the child up for adoption. That child has to learn how to live in another family. The things that were okay in his own family may not necessarily be okay in the new family. We were in a family. We were taken apart from the family we were. We were brought into the family of God. When we got into the family of God, what happened? Then we start to learn the ways of God. Then we start to learn how to do the things of God. So in that scripture, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 is not an interesting one. Because verse 11 is the one that talks about killing the flesh. It's not an interesting one. It's the one that talks about your discipline. It's not an interesting one. It's the one that talks about what you give up. It's not an interesting one. It's the one that takes out of you. It's the one that places a demand on you. But when the demand has been met, then you get to the next place. It says, also the Levites, which were singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, and their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen. You know, when you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost proper, preparation is important. Preparation is important. You don't just come out and you just say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No. Number one, 11, they did the sacrifice. Number two, in verse 12, they now came and they started saying, how are we going to look? Let's make it white. Do you think they just came and everybody just put on white? They must have been preparing for the occasion. They must have gone through a process where they said, okay, we're going to need the singers, we're going to need the trumpeters, we're going to need the guys on the cymbals, we're going to need this, we're preparing to worship our God, we're preparing to speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What do I want it to look like? How do I want it to be? What are the songs that would normally work? How will those songs work? What are the things that we want to say? How do we want to play it? What key do we want to be on? How do we want to transition from one song to the other? Then you go to the service and you feel the Holy Ghost. There was a mind at work in the preparation before the service. There was a mind at work. So it doesn't happen by accident. That's my point. It is a deliberate thing. It is a deliberate thing. You know, every time when we're having faith campaign, I normally go and look for a playlist. Every month, I create a playlist of the songs that are working for me. And they're always different. The song that worked last month or 2 months ago may not work. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But I just follow my heart. 2 weeks ago, he was just waking up in the morning and God, these two hymns will work here. You know, I sent it to Yemi. I said, I don't know where it's going to work. I don't know where we're going to use it, but I just know that those two songs are going to work somewhere. Preparation. If you want the secret of the anointing, is the preparation. The secret of the anointing is the preparation. The preparation. How you study. How you pray. How you fast. The secret of the Holy Ghost is in the preparation. See God. He prepared through eternity. Got to the point where John was going to show up. He even planned the Holy Ghost was going to come. He had been speaking prophetically that, listen, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descending, the man is working out the intricacies of this thing. That when I get to that point, my son is going to come. He's going to go into the water. He's going to have his second cousin there. Let's do it that way. Second cousin, second cousin. Second cousin is going to be there. When the second cousin is there, he's going to take him. He's going to dip him into the water. As soon as he comes out of the water, I'm going to come with my voice. Behold, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I will announce him in a great way. Preparation. When God was going to create man, he spent 6 days or so doing everything. Doing everything. He created everything that was necessary. And then he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He prepared for man. He prepared for man. What preparation are you doing for the Holy Ghost? What preparation are you doing to allow the Holy Ghost to come into your life? What preparation are you doing to get yourself to the place where you know that he's not only in me, I can show you God now? What is the preparation you are doing? Look at it. They were arrayed in white linen. They had cymbals, psalteries, harps. They stood at the east end of the altar. With them, 120 priests sounding the trumpet. All of that was not by accident. All of that was pre-planned. It was pre-planned. You think Pentecost was by accident? It was pre-planned. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will pour out my spirit. It was pre-planned. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you know what, guys? Don't leave Jerusalem. Why? Because I am sending someone. And that someone is going to show up in Jerusalem. That's preparation. Anytime Jesus was going to a place to go and preach, the Bible says he will send the disciples ahead of him. They will go. They will go and do stuff. When he was coming in again during the triumphant entry, he sent people ahead. Preparation. How are you preparing? So what then happens? He says, and it came to pass, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. So it was not just the fact that they were there, but now they said, we've got to make one sound. So it's not the fact that you actually got into the church. It is, what are you doing in the church? He says they were as one. You know how powerful they as one is? I told this story some time ago. I think I've told it here before. I'm not sure. We were having a prayer meeting. And there was a guy that had been invited to the prayer meeting. And was a big circle. He said, form a big circle. And formed the circle. And everybody was praying. Everybody was praying. And it appeared as though, man, this thing is hitting a brick wall. This thing is hitting a brick wall. What's happening? This thing is hitting a brick wall. All of a sudden, the guy leading just said, okay, there's somebody here. God is saying that you have something against somebody. And because of that thing you have in your heart,
this meeting is not moving. Can you please drop that thing now or leave the service? And then we continued. Bam! Holy Ghost landed. After the service, one guy said, I was so angry, the person that invited me to prayer meeting was not there. That simple thought was blocking the flow of the Holy Ghost for everybody. Thank God that the person leading was sensitive and said, something is happening here. So you may think that when he says that they were as one, the as one there meant that, listen, they came with a common purpose. They came with a common purpose. They came with a common purpose. That's why in Ephesians, the Bible talks about the unity of the faith. We don't have to be united over doctrine. There are some doctrines we may have in this church that you will never like. And there are some doctrines they have in other churches that I will never like. The fact that I don't like it doesn't mean that I cannot walk with them as brethren. Let us look for the place that we agree on. Somebody sent something during the week telling the story of a professor who had gone to his class and said, I'm going to give everybody a test. And he gave everybody a white piece of paper and said, turn it upside down. And everybody turned it upside down. And then he said, now start. They turned the paper the right way and there was a black dot in the middle of it. And he gave everybody time to do what they wanted to do. And everybody did their stuff. People started writing. And then he collected at the end of the time allotted. And they took what they had. He opened it. He started to read what everybody had written. And some people were describing how the dot was in the middle and the space that was between the dot and the side. And, you know, they came up with all these complex things of describing what was there. And the professor got up and said at the end of it, and he said, do you realize that not one of you describe the white paper, all of you describe the black dot? And that sometimes we look at life that way. Everybody describes the black dot. Nobody describes the white. What is my point? My point is, if you want to flow with the Holy Ghost properly, take advantage of the one you have, not the one you don't have. I cannot guarantee the one on top of you, because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, he operates as he wills. But I can guarantee the one that is within. If you are born again, the one that is within will not move. If you are not born again, then there's a problem there. There's a problem there. So when they had taken all of this and everybody said in unison, we are now going to sing as one. We now want to get ourselves into a place where we start to feel the presence of God as one. What starts to happen? Now, listen to what they said. They started to speak in psalms. It says, for God is good and his mercies endures forever. Then the Holy Ghost filled the place. He filled the place. So we're going to worship God again this morning. With that understanding, we're going to say, Lord, one of the prayers Jesus prayed for us before he left, he said, Lord, make them one like we are one. Lord, make them one. Why? If that unity is not there, the Holy Ghost can't move. The only time the Holy Ghost will show where there's disunity is to fix it. And if you don't invite him there, he's not going there. He's not going there. If you invite him, he's ready. He shows up. If somebody doesn't pay the price for the Holy Ghost to appear somewhere, he wouldn't appear. Somebody somewhere is paying that price. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's worship God a little bit. Let's worship him a little bit. Let's just tell him that he is the great God. Tell him he's the mighty God. Thank him because he is awesome. Thank him because he is mighty. Thank him because there is nobody like him. There is nobody beside him. Thank him because he is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of glory. Thank him because he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Thank him because he is our God. Thank him because he is our Lord. Thank him because the Lord is my light and he's my salvation. Who shall I fear? Thank him because the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Thank him because though there is a host that encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though the war rises up against me, I will be confident in this one thing, that as I have desired the Lord and as I have sought after him, I will dwell in his house all the days of my life. I will behold the beauty of the Lord, and I will inquire in the temple of God. Teach me your way, O God. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. Father, I wait on you. I wait on you, O Lord. I'm of good courage. My heart is strengthened because I wait on the Lord. You look at Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow your ears, O God, to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, a house of defense to me, O God. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you. For them, O God, you have wrought great things in those that trust in you. You have been their hiding place. You have caused your secret to be revealed unto them. Unto you, O God, I cry. O Lord, my rock, be not silent. Be not silent. Blessed be your name, O God, because you have heard the voice of my supplications. O God, you are my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is my strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. The saving strength of his anointed. The saving strength of his anointed. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Malabasata yala gazo brodos de ririo shandra bakasu radishi. Let's just worship him from the depths of our soul. Worship him and say to him, oh God, fill me with your spirit afresh. Let me have a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. In the book of Psalms, he says, I have found my David servant, and with fresh oil have I anointed him. God, let your oil upon my life be fresh. Let the spirit upon my life be fresh. For you are the Lord, you are my shepherd. You lead me beside the still waters. You are the God that gives me bread every day. You are the God that meets every need in my life. You are the God that opens doors and no man can shut. You are the God who is with me whether I'm going through the valley or I'm on the mountaintop. You are always with me, O God. In all I do, you are with me. In all I lay my hands on, I succeed because you are the strength of my life. Because the Holy Ghost is within me, I succeed in all I do. I am not cast down. I am not cast down. I am lifted up in my spirit. I am strengthened by the spirit in my inner man. I am loaded daily with the benefits of God. Oh, I am blessed because transgression has not been imputed to me. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all sin. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all transgressions. I am a free man. 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 I've been set free by Jesus. I've been set free by the one who died and rose. The one who is alive forevermore. I have been set free. I have been set free. I ascend to the holy hill. I ascend to the holy hill. With the words of my lips, I worship the King of glory. With the words of my mouth, I sing of his goodness. I sing of his mercy. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. He is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. He is the God who watches over his own. He is the God who has my name inscribed in the palms of his hand. He is the God who has prepared for me that when he opens his palms, he sees my name. He sees my name. My name. My name is there. He says, this is the one for whom I sent Jesus to die. This is the one I love. This is my child. Father, we worship. Father, we worship. Oh, Labashari Alarabosh. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy, 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 holy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord. Say holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy.
After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. He said, come up hither, and I will show you things that must be hereafter. He's the same one. He says that the 24 elders falling down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive the honor, to receive power. For thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure they were, and they were created. And there was a book in his hand. And the Bible says that there was no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, that was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. He says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed to open the book. And the Bible says they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by the blood, out of every kindred, of every tongue, of every people, of every nation, And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And there was the voice of angels that were worshipping the King of Glory. The voice of angels crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The same thing we're singing now. Holy. Holy.
Holy. Holy. Holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord. Lord, you are holy. Holy.
Outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost on every life here present, O God. Let there be a transformation in every life. Let there be a change in every life. Oh, yes, Lord. Let all receive the Holy Ghost. Father, open the floodgates of heaven. Let your glory.